Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and thank you for joining us today. This is Kelly Barner, editor at Byers Meeting Point. Today, I would like to welcome two guests from Wake Forest University, Dr. Jim Naris and Dr. Michelle Stewart. They've been coordinating research into the role of social media in procurement since this summer and have some results to share with us. To give you a little bit of background, Dr. Naris serves as a research fellow at the Institute for the Study of Business Markets at Penn State University. He is a co-author of the management practice book, Value Merchants, the textbook, Business Market Management, and the author of the book, Connect with Your Suppliers, a Wholesale Distributor's Guide to Electronic Communication Systems. Professor Naris not only is involved in a variety of international marketing research projects, but also regularly teaches abroad. He has worked as a marketing professor at Wake Forest University since January of 1988. Dr. Michelle Stewart is an associate professor at the School of Business at Wake Forest University. Her research interests center on issues involving role management and the coordination of internal working relationships, as well as how each drives superior performance in business-to-business markets. She also examines comparisons of normative expectations and customer satisfaction measurement in business markets and the interrelationships among salespeople, supply managers, and their internal customers. Jim and Michelle, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you very much, Kelly.
Thank you, Kelly.
I have to say, this is a first. I've talked to a lot of very influential and important people, but I've absolutely never had two doctors with me at one time. So we've got a BMP radio first here today.
Well, just don't ask us any medical questions. That's the only thing I would request.
No worries there. We'll keep it to the business topic. So let's jump right in. I know you've been working together on a series of studies involving the decision-making process of purchasing professionals, and it's something that Byers Meeting Point has been happy to be a part of. You've specifically looked into the influence of the digital environment on decision-making. Why was this area of research of interest to you?
Well, let me just sort of jump in here, and I'm sure that most of your listeners are tech savvy. And one of the things that you hear when you talk to consultants and experts in the area is the notion that all of these digital tools that we're commonly familiar with and use today has changed, and the expression that's used is the customer journey. And the customer journey basically refers to the buying process that customers follow. So, for example, the big news this week is the fact that instead of rushing down to your local mall for Black Friday, everyone has been turning to Cyber Monday and going online. So obviously that has affected the way consumers shop. And our interest, being in business-to-business marketing, is to try to find out what the influence of these various tools has been on the business-to-business purchaser's customer journey. Now, when you read various articles and books and blogs on the topic, most of the consultants will specifically state, right, the process is different, but more often than not, they don't give you the hard steps in the process. So our goal was to find out how buyers are actually purchasing, what is their journey, and what influence the various digital tools have on the journey. What are they using? What are they not using? And then hopefully to come up with some managerial recommendations on how companies can use the tools more effectively.
You know, Kelly, this has been especially important given that research shows that more than half of the buyer's process happens way before they even talk to a supplier. So understanding that customer journey is even more important in this B2B space.
No, and I think it's interesting that you point this out, because a lot of the conversations I've been having recently, and in fact it's regardless of who I am talking to, we are finding that the dynamics and preferences that exist in the B2C sphere are becoming increasingly dominant in the B2B sphere. And I'm actually glad to hear that you're discussing this within procurement, because that indicates to me that our technology and our processes and our role within the enterprise are sort of close to the heartbeat of where things are really current and are really changing.
And so one of the things I would add to what you're saying, one of the things that we've discovered in our research is that apparently there's a difference between the way what I'll call millennial purchasing people, and I would categorize them as people that were born between 1980 and 2000, go about purchasing versus Gen Xers who were born between, 1960 and 1980. So that what we have found is that the millennials seem to have been shaped by all of these consumer tools and apps that you've alluded to, and they're increasingly looking forward to using them in the business-to-business space. And part of the difficulties that they have encountered is that a lot of the B2B companies have not adapted the same technologies that you see quite readily in the B2C space, rather. So that whole issue of how millennials go about purchasing has really changed the dynamic of how companies approach acquisition decisions.
Now, I know over the summer you had done a survey as well as a series of more direct interviews. Are those the kinds of conclusions, so specifically separating out how millennials reacted, are those some of the key findings that actually came out of the research you did this summer, or were you looking at broader trends that affect the entire procurement profession?
Well, I would add that during this summer we did two things. To begin with, we conducted hour-long interviews with some 48 purchasing managers across the United States in a variety of industries. And then secondly, we did an online survey of purchasing managers across the U.S., asking them what digital tools do they actually use in buying, when and where. And in particular, in the beginning stage, when we went out and talked to the 48 purchasing managers, that was on the top of their mind. Many of them were talking about the fact that there seems to be a transition going on between Gen Xers handing off responsibilities to millennials, and all of them pointed out these differences to us. We did use that as the basis of in part on our survey, in that when we asked people what digital tools you used, we definitely asked them how old you were, sorting them into either millennials, Gen Xers, or baby boomers. So as with most research, the personal interviews at the beginning were the ones that alerted us to this issue. We didn't realize it was as important, but I think that's one of the key things that we found, is that companies are really struggling and wrestling with this, and there's a concern that if companies don't adapt to all of these tools that you just alluded to, that they're going to be left behind.
So this is an issue not only of what needs to be done and what can be done specifically within procurement, but it also has a direct impact maybe on recruiting, as well as the technology that we spend our money on to encourage providers to go in that direction. Now, as far as the analytical work that you've done post-interviews and post-survey, are there any specific details that you've dug into or specific conclusions that you're in a position to share at this point?
Yeah, there are a couple. First, to get back to the interview and survey, specifically the survey we did this summer, we were really interested in what was the nature of the digital technology that purchasing professionals were using. And we looked at this in a couple of ways. First, we realized that purchasing professionals are continually scanning to find out not only market trends, but also to find out potential new suppliers, potential new products, and in general, new processes. And we were interested in whether there was one resource that dominated in that search. And we found that while no one resource dominated, we did see a lot of purchasing professionals using their online trade association resources, like resources from the ISM. Then in finding the actual location of new products and new services, it wasn't surprising to us that search engines dominated because, you know, they're cheap, they're easy to use, and people are familiar with them. But we did see the use of online communities, like you might have an online group through LinkedIn or an area in which people either live chatted with one another or posted questions for other professionals within closed groups. But even there, purchasing professionals had a reluctance to use those too much or to do more. They were more listeners than talkers on those venues because of fear that they might reveal something that was competitive, or there might be these salespeople that were listening, and the next thing they knew, the purchasing professional's email box was full of sales pitches, and that wasn't the purpose of their interaction with the online forum. When they were evaluating the products and services, so we went from how do you scan the market, what digital technology do you use, how do you find the products you need, what digital technologies do you use, to how do you evaluate products and suppliers. And more frequent use than any other digital technology was internal vendor scorecards. But this was an area where this homegrown digital technology is a lot of opportunity, I think, for best practices on vendor scorecards to be shared. A lot of people are developing their own vendor scorecards, and there was this thirst for something provided that might be more standardized across or more readily available across industries.
One of the things I would like to add to this, taking it one step further, I think one of the key revelations that we had is the nature of changes in purchasing management in general, in that what we found is that it's becoming more strategic. As a matter of fact, I think the phrase supply manager is more appropriate than purchasing manager. And the reason for that is that if you look at the customer journey or the buying process, the part of it which buyers in particular spent most of their time on, I'll call it the transaction process, ordering products, making sure that they're delivered, checking for reliability, monitoring inventory, doing vendor assessments, that's been completely automated now. So you have systems like Ariba and also SAP that basically have done that. So if you look at the traditional job of a purchasing manager, a purchasing department, it's become hollowed out. And as a result, purchasing managers or supply managers are spending more time at the beginning of the process and also at the end of the process. At the beginning of the process, they're spending more time on search, and they've been charged with going out there and learning about new technologies and new market conditions and, you know, traditionally finding new suppliers and new products. And a lot of what they're doing may not have application today, but their companies increasingly are asking them to keep tabs on these new technologies, so maybe 5 years down the road they have to apply them. And then at the back end of the process, I'll kind of refer to this as vendor management, most companies have switched to long-term relationships with suppliers. And the job of purchasing is more relationship management than it has been in the past, in that they've got to assess how suppliers have done, work to improve partnerships, and things of that nature. So in addition to what Michelle said, the key finding that we've come to is that purchasing today at the more progressive companies is more strategic in nature rather than transactional.
And obviously, we're glad to hear that. I mean, it's something that anybody that's been in the field or you know, has sort of peripheral supporting roles in the field wants to hear. Let me sort of state back to you what I think you're saying to make sure I have it right, and then sort of add on a question at the end. So what you're basically saying is that there has been pretty decent adoption over time within procurement of the tools and technologies that support our process work. So whether it's something that's transactional, like invoices or supplier evaluations, the RFP process, we've done a good job of adopting those technologies, a better job probably than we've done with some of the things like you mentioned, online communities, maybe some different social media channels. But as the automation or the digital technology of the transaction or process management components becomes automated enough that procurement can step away and focus on this more strategic activity, we're not necessarily increasing our use of the communities, of the social media. We're having a tendency to maybe use a slightly less technologically supported approach as we move away from the transactions and the systems can kind of manage themselves. Am I sort of getting the right takeaway from that?
Well, I think you're right on target here, and I want to point out that, you know, no one has got a lock on how to do this, and what we're seeing is a lot of companies are struggling and experimenting on this. If I look at this, I would divide it into three areas. There's the upfront search for new technologies, market conditions, and suppliers. There's the transaction process, which is ordering and managing delivery and things of that nature. And then the back end is what I would call vendor management or ongoing relationship management. Today, most organizations have got the middle part, the transaction part, nailed in terms of automation. So I think most companies are at a very good position when it comes to those things. Not as well off are that initial part, the search part, although, you know, companies are making progress on that. Many are doing a good job. The area that I find that purchasing people are the weakest in is that latter case, which is vendor management, you know, assessing how suppliers have done and working together with them to develop partnerships. And, you know, one of the particular weaknesses that we've found is that often, in most cases, companies have some kind of vendor management system, but that information often is not relayed to the people that are in purchasing or supply management to help them make better decisions. Now, typically, companies will use that in, you know, when they have quarterly or annual reviews with suppliers to help them improve. But that's not being forwarded to the purchasing or supply area. So the strongest area today is that middle part, which is transaction management. The second strongest area is search. And the area that needs the most work is the last one, which is vendor management or partnership management.
And it's interesting because what it sounds like is happening is that the evolution of our function, and then, of course, the technologies that we're going to need to get into, as well as the influx of millennials and what they want to do and how they want to work, we're sort of getting a perfect storm here of major shifts. And so people that are in the field that were very happy doing a lot of this transactional stuff, whether through systems or otherwise, that need to move on to this more strategic, ongoing relationship management, you know, pulling of information, constantly looking for information to incorporate into what they're doing. There's going to either need to be a skills shift or, frankly, a personnel shift to bring in the people with the right aptitudes and interests in order to make this next phase of procurement's journey successful.
Absolutely. You know, the two takeaways on what you're saying is, you know, first and foremost, millennials' expectations have been developed using all of these B2C tools that you referred to initially, and they want those in business-to-business marketing. And secondly, you know, quite frankly, if companies don't jump on the bandwagon and start utilizing these tools where appropriate, they're going to be left behind. And you know, what's going to happen in 5 to 10 years is that the more progressive companies are going to master these tools, whereas the you know, the traditionalists or the old timers are basically going to be left in the dust. So you know, one way or another, that's going to change.
And I'm sure to some extent a lot of that's driven by industry. You know, in the past, we've seen things like manufacturing or retail, where there are smaller margins or more intense competitive pressures driving companies, forcing them to do things that maybe higher margin businesses don't have to worry about, at least not yet. And so it'll be interesting to see whether it's corporate structures or whether it's industry pressures that drive companies towards this more progressive model that you're describing.
Right. It's all of the above. And I would add a couple of other factors to this. Not surprisingly, the companies that or the industries that are in the lead on this tend to be in the technology sector, and also companies that are new. And, you know, obviously the reason for that is that they're savvy when it comes to the technology, but more importantly, their systems are not in place, so they're willing to experiment with things. And the second dimension that I would add to this, unfortunately, is that, this technology is complicated and it's often expensive, and that poses particular problem for the small to medium-sized companies that lack resources, both financial as well as the personnel, to implement these things. So that's another factor involving entailing who's going to utilize these techniques.
You know, Kelly, along with what I'm saying, you see examples of that with third parties like this company called VendOp, which is a startup that's bringing some of this business-to-business online rating for select industries on board, as well as the big player, Amazon. Amazon's business marketplace, which is replacing Amazon Supply, is starting to work to simulate that B2C experience with online rating in the B2B space. So we're seeing it potentially first with the matchmakers between buyers and suppliers, as buyers and suppliers work to get more automated in different areas as well.
See, I would add that, in a way, I also see this as an opportunity, in that if you have some savvy entrepreneurs out there who realize that small to medium-sized companies are having financial problems or personnel problems in grasping and utilizing this technology, the savvy entrepreneurs are going to come up with systems that are within the grasp, both technologically and financially, for the small to medium-sized companies. So, again, that's tremendous opportunity for those entrepreneurs that are willing to take the risk.
Well, and as we were talking about earlier, if we already had a perfect storm in the entrance of millennials, as well as the shift of the bulk of procurement value opportunity into a more strategic area, you add to that the leveling effect that cloud and software as a service delivery models have had, which allows entrepreneurs to quickly and realistically create, put together solutions, bring them to market. We've actually found ourselves in an incredibly interesting time. So let me ask you then, so you talked about newer, smaller companies in the tech industry are the ones that are sort of showing signs of being most likely to be progressive. Can you give any suggestions or observations about maybe ways that companies in the majority or the late majority could get their toes wet in this area? Obviously, those companies aren't going to say, oh, okay, we're going to take this radical shift, and start doing things crazy different. It doesn't work that way. But if they're looking to start the ball rolling and get themselves moving in that more progressive direction, any signs from what you learned from the readers of what those companies can do to get going on this?
Well, my own take on this is that first and foremost, if you want to be at the forefront of this, you have to practice benchmarking, and in particular, get outside of your own industry, because there's a tendency to look around and say everyone's doing the same thing. Identify those companies that are at the forefront and get a feel for what it is that they're doing and how they're doing it, because that'll be mind-blowing in and of itself. Now, all those things might not be applicable to a given company or industry, but you absolutely positively need to be aware of that. And then I would also add that there are quite a few courses that are available, seminars, conferences put on by organizations, including the Institute for Supply Management, New Product Development Association, and I could give you a long list of these things, that managers that want to be up to speed should participate in and pay attention to, because that's where they're going to learn the new skills.
So let me then start to wrap. You know, it's funny, we started this session with a first on BMP Radio, having two doctors, and we're actually going to finish it with another first, which is I've never actually had to let people go on time before so they could be on time to class. Take our last couple minutes here, if we could, and just tell me, as you're wrapping up this series of studies, what's next, either from an information sharing perspective or what you're looking up to next in terms of continued research?
So, Kelly, we have some fresh data that we just finished collecting earlier this month and analyzed over the Thanksgiving break that is an experimental design. And we'll have to have a part two of a conversation to tell you more about that. But in essence, we looked at both the beginning and end stages of the decision-making process. We looked at where evaluations of suppliers were coming from, internal within the firm through online vendor scorecards, versus external through online communities. And then we looked at whether the evaluations of suppliers were positive or negative, more good than bad or more bad than good, and looked at how that influenced the purchasing professional's decision to actually learn more about the supplier and to actually have an intention to purchase from that supplier. So there's some interesting results. The highlight that we can give you in the time remaining is that there's a significant difference in whether internal or external sources of an evaluation matter depending on whether the review is positive or negative. So I guess we'll leave that as a cliffhanger of sorts to have a next conversation with you about that research.
That sounds fantastic, and I will definitely take you up on the opportunity to have another conversation and discuss further. So as it becomes available, I'm certainly going to share any information regarding the results of your research, as well as any additional opportunities to participate within the Buyers Meeting Point community, through our LinkedIn group, on our website, as we certainly have a vested interest as professionals in the field that want to learn more to be able to shape our behavior and add to our skills in the ways that's going to set us up to have the greatest success as we go forward. Jim and Michelle, thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank you, Kelly.
We enjoyed it.
Yes, pleasure.